Come, Lord Jesus, fill the hearts of your faithful gathered and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just want to welcome all of you here, our friends from St. James and our visitors here today. I know we have some special visitors here from China. Welcome to you all. We at the Church of the Good Shepherd have just begun an exciting journey this year as a whole congregation through the story of God's unfailing love for us. Indeed, we're going through a sequential series of stories that will take us through the entire Bible this year in 31 weeks. It's God's main story. It's also our story. And as we hear in chapter 2 of this story, it is our dysfunctional family story as well. And I want to invite each one of you, if you would like to take this journey with us. We're giving away books to everyone that would like to join us for this journey, and you can pick those up in the church office. Just by way of review, just to bring you all kind of up to speed, as you know, chapter 1, God created everything, the heavens and the earth, and that everything within it, the stars. And he created it so that he could be in relationship with you and with me. But Adam and Eve had a different plan. They thought somehow that they knew better than God. And they chose to eat from that tree that suggested that they knew better than God's plan. And their relationship with God was broken. And they were cast out of the garden. Their bad decisions led to bad circumstances, which led to more bad decisions. And sin entered into the human race in such a deep way that not even the righteous Noah and the wiping away of the earth could get rid of the sin that was in this world. And this cycle continues on generation by generation, even today in our own families. Yet the gospel message that we heard, that we cling to, is that God doesn't give up on us, even in our disobedience, even in our self-inflicted condition. God is passionately pursuing each one of us. He wants to win us back. He wants to bring us home, back to that right relationship with him. And so in chapter 2 of our story, we begin to see God's plan for bringing us back into relationship with him. We begin to learn some things about God that we did not know, some characteristics that are unique to him, that are surprising to us. And these characteristics will seem to remain true for him all the way through his story. The first is that God works through people, okay? God doesn't just work in a vacuum. He works through flesh and blood, through hearts and souls, through minds, yet imperfect people. People that are not exactly the people we thought God would use to work through. And he decides to build a whole nation of people who would be called his own, who would be set apart to do several things. One, to reveal his presence, to embody God in the world. The second would be to show forth God's plan and to convey that plan, that God has a plan for humanity, and it is being lived out in these people. And the third is the promise, that God has given us a promise that he will go with us as we are willing and faithful. Yeah, that is the first thing. God doesn't act in ways that we think he ought to. His ways are different from ours. And he shows us that by choosing to build this nation with two of the most unlikely individuals God could begin to build a whole nation of people who would number greater than the stars in the sky. He used two old pagans. They were barren, they could not have children, and they were well beyond their childbearing age anyway. I think God shows another thing. He has a sense of humor. God has a real sense of humor, and you've got to love it. But he uses these obvious individuals to make a clear point. And his point is that his power is made perfect in our weakness, in our inability. Let's be clear here. Who's doing what? It's not us, it's God. So God's not going to do something through you that you're going to be usurping and doing and taking, you know, the credit. God's going to use people that are going to reflect his power, his promise, his plan. He's going to use people who are weak, who are sinful, who are frail. People like you and me. But one thing Abraham did have, he had a willing heart. He had a faith that God could use. And he was willing to take that first step because faith is a step. Faith is not a thought. It's a step. And it's another step. And it leads to a journey that goes somewhere that we actually don't know where it leads. It's a frightening journey. But Abraham seemed to be willing to listen and trust. He left his home and his people for a new home and a new people for whom God would give him. And God promised Abraham some really incredible things, that he would be the father of many nations, that his blessing would go with them where they went, and that through his descendants, God would bless the whole world. Pretty remarkable. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to allow God's blessing not to stop with us, but to flow through us. God's plan and promise and power went with them to Canaan, the promised land, but something else went with them. Their dysfunction. As Philip said, they put the fun back in dysfunction. Yeah. Indeed, this dysfunctional behavior accelerated when they lost patience with God's plan. They said, certainly God has forgotten us. Let's help God out with his plan. I know what we can do. We can do it a different way. We know what happened. Bad decisions led to bad circumstances, which led to more bad decisions. I don't know how many of you all had followed the program on TV, Downton Abbey. Downton Abbey, it had started in a very, proper and sophisticated English program. And over the years, it seems to have devolved into just a soap opera on steroids. And the problems and the drama and the stuff that is playing out in all these various characters, I don't think I have the patience to hang with it much longer. But this is the story of the Abrahamson family, the origin of this nation of people that God was going to make and bless and use. Yeah, we'd put this against any soap opera on TV today. How is it possible that God's plan could work through, parents who are choosing sides with kids and pitting one side of the family against another side of the family? Children who are utilizing that advantage to drive a wedge through their parents' relationship with one another. lies, deceit, manipulation, trickery. And you know what? They even use it to steal God's promise and blessing. How could God's plan be at work in and through such incredibly dysfunctional and dishonest, conniving people? I don't know. But if you look really, really close at this clan, you find that you begin to recognize this family. Yep, if you look close enough, you begin to see that they're not too different from our own families. Yet the amazing thing is that God is still there. He's still faithful. He's still willing to work his plan through these folks despite their lack of faith, despite their dysfunction, despite their ability to follow the way that he would lead. God is still at work in us, in our sin and brokenness, in our broken families, in our own weaknesses and poor decisions. That is God's upper story, that God's upper story remains true. It's faithful. It's being played out. The lower story is our story, the messiness of our lives, the craziness of our lives, the inability for us to be perfect, obviously. All the way through the scripture, God uses people who are not the smartest, not the strongest, not the most beautiful, or have the best resume for the job. In many ways, he's so counterintuitive. Think of Moses, who couldn't speak, or Jeremiah, the young boy. Why would anybody listen to a child, huh? Can God speak through children? Yes. God speaks through children in a more powerful way than he speaks through anybody else. And that's why Jesus says you have to come to him like a child. Are we willing to come as children before God? Are we willing to come in our own brokenness, our own impotence, and be used by him? Those are the people for whom God uses, people like you and me, people with problems, fears, weaknesses. So the main point of this story is that, guess what? None of you are off the hook. You can't disqualify yourself from being used by God. Yep, you have no excuses. God is wanting to bring you back into the family. The question is, do you trust him? Are you willing to be used? Do you believe that his plan for you is better than your own plan? It takes a while to figure that out, but I think most of us come to the realization that our plans don't quite pan out the way that we would like them, and that God, let's give God a chance here. That's one thing that I did. I kind of took God up on his laughable offer. And that's why I stand here before you today. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. If God could use me, he could use anybody. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all of the ways in which I've been prodigal in my relationship to God, how I've left him, how I have forsaken him, how I have tried to run from him, yet he calls me back. I don't need to stand here and tell you that I am not a good public speaker, or that it scares me to death to stand in this place and offer these words, because it does. I struggle with my own fears, my own sense of inadequacy, the demons that come to my voice and tell me, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Can you really speak for God? Are you qualified? No, I'm not. I was just crazy enough to put God to the test. Crazy enough to take him up on his word and say, yeah, I'm gonna trust you, and if you can do it through me, you can do it through anybody. And the miracle is that despite me and my frailty, God is at work. God is at work. And that's what we cling to today. God is working through all of us if we're willing to show up. If we're willing to, we got to show up. We've got to love him and allow ourselves to be used by him. It's not easy because we're out of control. God's the one. He's less concerned with your past than he is with your future. God's got a future. Don't let your past hold you back. It's not a disqualifier. The invitation is on the table for everyone to step into and back into the family of God, the people for whom God has called you to be a part of, to journey with. And he wants to show you what he can do in and through you. So there are no excuses that you can fabricate to avoid it. When you're ready and you're willing, take up the invitation. He wants to bless you, and he wants you to be a blessing to others. Amen.